Where are you going, Steve? Where
Steve,
are you going? What's so
Steve.
Important? What's so important?
He's getting... I'll get my phone.
You can. You guys can take over the show
Steve.
When I go grab my phone. All right, and welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can go to our Facebook page and what do you do at the Facebook page? Oh, in the search bar, you type in the Matthew Aaron Show and then you click like.
Yeah, you like it. You send smoke signals.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can do that.
You write messages.
Morse code.
You tie pigeons up with messages and paper and you send it to you.
iTunes, subscribe.
iTunes.
Are we on Reddit?
No, oh, you can't be on Reddit. Yeah. That's like a message board.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I don't know what it is.
I sometimes go on Reddit. I'm not like a cool kid on Reddit, but I'm like one of those people that like travels there every once
you
in a while.
I've actually never been to Reddit.
No, I've commented on Reddit a few times.
But you're not a troll, which is like a cool person on Reddit. Just someone who's...
Oh, you think some of them are trolls?
All the time. They're just days devoted to like trolling
really?
Shit. Oh, yeah, dude.
That bad, huh?
Yeah.
So what is Reddit? Like, what do you do on it?
I thought it's a board.
Reddit's
a thread,
like literally the world's biggest message board, and they spread everything. If your post is worthy, a lot of people comment on it, so it's a way for people to discover certain things, like people share new movies they've seen, or like it's a great way to find underground things, interviews. There's always interview postings, gossip and stuff, but not like your typical TMZ gossip, like really cool behind the scenes stuff. I find it great for like movies and TV and stuff like that. But then, you know, there are times where I'm annoyed by Reddit too. Like I went there and I saw a bunch of comments about the Gary Oldman thing this week. And I'm like, I don't even want to read this. Whatever. I'm not even going to get started on that because here's why I'm not going to comment on the Gary Oldman thing. This is my whole comment, period. Gary Oldman gives an interview in Playboy, says some things that people are like not cool with. Okay, whatever. You can Google it if this is like 3 years from 2014 and you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Long story short, if you listen to this show, we talk about how the PC police are out every single week, so I really don't have any more to say. I'm in 100% agreement with Gary. I would 100%. Not have used the words Gary Oldman may have used, but I agree with his point.
Yeah.
1,000%. He probably, in hindsight, could have been a little more tactful about how he put it. But listen, it was a 14-hour interview. Bro's hanging out all day. You just kind of let the shit fly sometimes. 14 hours.
Well,
people don't remember how these Playboy interviews work.
This is like that that video that the diatribe, if we're going to use Lee language, that Bill Maher did after the Donald Sterling thing about basically privacy and you know being able to talk freely.
Yeah, well, I just you know people just need to know one thing though about all these interviews in Playboy. When they interview you, and this is not always, but this is the usual, the huge. What happens is it's over the course of usually like anywhere from 8 to 14 hours. And it turns out being like 3.5 pages of reading material, right?
Right.
So what people don't understand is these guys follow you around all day and they ask you questions, and they probably use the most interesting things. And then think how guilty you feel as the interviewer when you do this and you get Gary Oldman in a lot of trouble because now every PR person's looking at you like you're a pariah.
Right.
No one's going to want to interview with you. It's a rough thing, man. And so according to Tobias, I wouldn't have used the words Gary Oldman did. I would have used worse words.
You probably would, but I'm not glass houses, though.
Yeah, glass,
there's
houses.
A possibility that's true.
No, you sound okay.
Do I sound funny to you?
No, you
huh? No, I just sound.
You have a little ringing in your ear. Oh no, you're
Mike,
not.
You
you're not
you
muted.
Yeah,
you're
got,
good.
No. That's why I'm asking.
You got the talk radio voice going on. You're all right.
That's a recurring theme.
Could you read the traffic and weather force on the 8s as well?
Absolutely.
By the way, we're going to be joined. Speaking of traffic and weather on the 8s, is Dog Chapman. I don't know what that has to do with traffic.
That was a
and
wonderful
on the
segue. That
Thank
was like,
you.
That
that's what I do. I set up these great segues. You know, Dog Chapman probably knows a thing or two about speaking his mind, though.
Yeah.
And his wife, Beth Chapman. And,
I mean, it's kind of like we have like the thought police today.
Well, yeah, I'm just
and,
sick
and
of
unless
it.
You agree with the people who are controlling that whole thing.
Well, listen,
then, you know.
This is a perfect opportunity for the Anti-Defamation League to get their name in the papers. And just like when Alec Baldwin says fag. It's the perfect time for GLAAD to get their name in the papers and to remind people that GLAAD exists and get some free promotion. I mean, I'm not wrong.
No,
I'm not wrong, okay? I mean, listen, I'm not here's the worst part about these groups, and then I'm just going to let it die. These groups do good things. The problem is these groups also do bad things, and there's no one policing the groups. There's no one policing the Anti-Defamation League. There's no one policing GLAAD. There's no one policing these groups. They're the thought police of guys like Gary Oldman and Alec Baldwin and Mel Gibson. And what Mel Gibson said, not cool. I get it. What Alec Baldwin says, whatever. Not cool. Got it. But who's policing these guys when they take things way too far, like GLAAD does and like the Anti-Defamation League tends to do? Gary Oldman apologized. The Anti-Defamation League, just so they can get their name in the paper again, says, we don't accept said apology. So that's not even good enough for them, just so they can get their name in the paper again and continue this as long as possible so they can be mentioned every time Gary Oldman mentions his name.
I just don't understand where these people get off.
It's free press.
I mean, but we had free speech. What's wrong with free speech?
I honestly don't think they care about that as much as they do the press.
But these same organizations will preach free speech about their own issues. But we're going to just go in circles on that one.
No, I mean, well, there's no circles. We just have talked about it on 196 episodes. I mean, for everyone that cries about what a liberal I am, that's the funniest thing. My conservative friends cry about what a liberal I am. My liberal friends cry about what a conservative I am. I can't win.
And your moderate friends are just cool. So.
Yeah, my moderate friends just don't give a fuck.
Well, maybe it's just because you're not a liberal Democrat. You're just Matthew Aaron.
I'm not a liberal Democrat. I'll tell you this.
No, I'm saying you're not.
You're right.
Liberal
no,
order.
No,
you're just you.
No, that's right. That's right. And you know, as much as our friend Lenny and even you, who has a lot of conservative values, like there's liberal things you guys, there's liberal things you like, and there's a lot of conservative things Lenny likes. So, just throwing that out there.
He's a Chicago Democrat.
Right. Right. Which is code for
Democrat.
If you're not 100% Republican, you're Democrat.
Yeah.
So if you're 99% Republican in Chicago, that makes you a Democrat.
Or you just want to get elected, so you're a Democrat.
Right, exactly what I'm saying, yeah. Doc Chapman.
Yes.
That's exciting, huh? You know, a lot of people are like, I believe this is the first reality star we've had on. And I had someone ask me that. And by the way, Dog and Beth on the Hunt, which is on CMT Saturday nights all summer, 9-8 Central, that's the new show they're promoting. But first reality guy, and people were asking me, like, why I was going to have a reality guy on. And Dog's cool by me. He's interesting, man.
No.
And I like having people like this on.
He's one of the actually the
bad wrestlers on. I mean, come on.
Dog's actually one of the few reality TV shows that I used to actually enjoy watching.
It's fun.
I think he's a good dude. He's got a great story.
He does have a great story, we're going to get into.
He had a rough life that he had to do a lot to turn around. And, you know, he was successful before he had the reality
TV
show.
Can I tell you
show.
Something else? How old's your dad?
He is 66.
My dad's 60, I think. 60 or 61, turning 61. How old would your dad been this year?
Oh, man, 45 to now. He would have been like almost 70.
Okay.
Yeah, like 69.
Dog Chapman, 61 years old, chasing down criminals still.
Doesn't look a day over 40, bro.
That's one thing, but can I tell you something else? My dad ain't chasing down nobody.
No.
We got a 2-year-old upstairs. He's barely chasing him down.
Right.
Okay.
Dog's a badass.
That this guy's chasing motherfuckers down at 61, that's badass.
Kind of a cool job, right?
He's like the real Sly Stallone, you know? Like he's like everything Sly Stallone writes himself to be.
And tall. and a foot taller.
Yeah, and probably,
no.
Dog's like 5'7".
No way.
I don't think I'm supposed to say that on
whoops.
The air. Am I supposed to say that on the air?
No, he's not 5'7".
Yeah, right.
You don't know what you're talking about. He's much taller.
And those aren't those dog boots he wears,
right?
All right?
Wink, wink.
Did I tell you I'm 6'5"?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And Mikey's 6'5". Hey. If Dog's 5'7 and chasing down criminals,
so are you,
do you know how good I feel right now?
You got hope.
You do.
I do have to throw this at you, though. You're not tackling somebody like me.
No, not like you.
No.
But you're not running at someone like me.
You're the camera.
Good point.
We'd make a good team, a good yin yang.
Yeah, right.
We should ask Doghouse. We could get our bounty license so we could do our team.
Oh, I love
power and glory.
Well, didn't King of the Hill already solve that for us?
Oh, yeah.
With Dale Gribble.
It's a great episode.
Yeah, it is a good episode.
Where he gets his bounty license in one day, you know, in like a 45-minute class.
You know, right. You and Terz are doing the bounty. That's like cop and a half right
You
there.
Know what?
That's good.
Hey, we should do that for a TV
Am I the
show.
Little black kid?
Yeah, yeah.
We should get our bounty hunter license and then go do it.
That's what I'm saying. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
I'd watch that
Matt,
show.
You would be the little
I would
black
definitely
kid.
Watch that show.
I'd watch Mikey and I chase people
you
down.
Guys
hey,
you've
yourself, seen me in action trying to track people down.
Well, I've
oh, we've
seen
this in action. Yeah, this
I have.
Mikey knows. Actually, seriously, Mikey knows his shit.
If
with
you ever
want
to find Alex Luisi, we know how.
Too high.
Too high.
Yeah, yeah, even Facebook helped us out.
Yeah, right.
That was
hey, you
got to
use
it.
All your options.
I got to tell you, that night, Mikey and I were Columbo and Matlock.
And I was Angela Lansbury.
You were definitely Angela Lansbury. You were just writing about it.
Yes.
Yeah, on your typewriter.
And humming that tune.
Yeah, right.
Her Murder, She Wrote.
But that was a fun night.
That was. I enjoyed the Mexican food.
That's
that
when
night.
Mikey and I were like, you know, we could really P.I.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
We had the stakeout thing pretty much done.
Let me tell you something. Between tracking people down, which I've had to do on multiple occasions, and a couple nights I've repoed cars, I have found one of my favorite activities is, like, espionage. I love it.
One of my favorite activities is espionage.
Roll back here. Mikey, you repoed cars?
Oh, yeah. South side of Chicago. It was a lot of fun.
You repoed on the south side?
I had to look for a guy named Curtis Jackson who bought a 7.4.
Not 50 Cent? No, you don't know. It could have been.
But he bought a brand new 745i Beamer. How he got the financing, I don't know.
Well, he's Curtis Jackson.
He put down $4,000 and never made a payment after he left the dealership.
Of course he didn't. He just wanted to drive the car for a while.
So they gave me this thing, okay? This guy lives somewhere down in Roseland or something. It had been 3 years since he bought the car. And I'm like, you guys expect me to find this car 3 years later without making a payment? Like, I'm the first person to look for it? Are you stupid?
By the way, the Chicago Tourist Bureau would like you to know, if you do want to visit Chicago, please visit Roseland.
Yes. And Inglewood.
Do they even have a hotel in Roseland?
And Rainbow Beach.
Where would you stay if you were going to stay in Roseland? I don't think there's a hotel in Roseland. No,
there's not.
My dad grew up in Roseland.
I'm trying to
If you want to know how much that neighborhood's changed.
Wow, your dad
And not
grew
like
there?
Not necessarily for the better.
Because
it was like, you know, poor Polacks and shit, I think, back
well,
then.
Well, here, I
But
I,
like,
I,
yeah, my dad grew up in Roseland.
I spent a
Brother
lot of,
Rice. They all went to like Brother Rice and like, what's the other one that's over there?
Whatever.
I forget. But all those Catholic schools
Marist,
are over
Brian,
there.
Marist, maybe?
It could be Marist. Yeah. It could be Marist.
I spent a lot of time in Roseland. I can honestly say I don't remember seeing a hotel or a motel. I know there's some in Harvey, though.
Bounty hunting is illegal in Illinois, Pat.
Oh. What?
What a shock.
What?
More red tape in Illinois. What a shock.
Yeah, that's sad. Here's
can
the
I
thing.
Tell you how much bullshit this state is?
It
Why
is.
Can't you bounty hunt?
How sick are you, this state?
I'm ill.
Every time I check, like, a law or whatever, we have it.
Yeah.
We're the most, like, we have the most laws probably
well,
out of any state
I mean,
in the world.
I was talking to somebody about this. Like, when I was looking at property tax rates across the country.
There is in Indiana, though. We could do it in Indiana.
Yeah, I know we can do it in Indiana.
So
that'll be fun.
Indiana's like, let's just do everything Illinois doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, well,
that's
yeah.
why they put the billboards up that we'll really enjoy Indiana.
I mean,
move
if,
here.
If Illinois ever got rid of half the laws and taxes that it has, Indiana would go bankrupt.
Well, Indiana has a billboard that says, are you Illinois yet?
and we let them put it up.
And we let them put it
We're
in,
like,
in
yeah,
Chicago.
We need the money. Go ahead, put it up.
All right, here's the question.
Yeah.
Do I play the Lee Capraeus
yes.
answering machine
Mikey
message?
Mikey never heard it and it's a gem.
Can you guys yap for a minute while I go get my phone?
I got two talking points for Mikey.
Yap.
Also, I think I would love to repo with you if I could. Like, that'd be amazing.
No, you know, here's funny. It was me and a friend of mine that's about my size and about 6'4".
Oh, I ain't fucking with
and
you, too.
And the first one that we did was, like, the guy just turned the car over. So
right.
It was
a voluntary repo.
And then we followed into the most wonderful neighborhoods in Chicago. Which would be very surprising you'd be repoing and down in Inglewood and Roseland.
Very shocked.
And Rainbow Beach.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, some of those areas. And, you know, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
We loved it. We were so excited to do this. We're driving around at 3 o'clock in the morning all over the south side of Chicago in the best neighborhoods. And my Nissan Titan, I had such a loud exhaust on it, you'll probably hear it's coming from 4 blocks down. I mean, it was just retarded loud. I don't know if you ever saw my truck.
No. Oh, yeah, I did, actually.
Anyway, and we're driving around blasting the Pink Panther theme song.
Oh, nice.
And we were like, and we couldn't, it was terrible. Nothing happened. We were expecting, like, a gunfight.
Yeah.
Or some sort of action to happen, we get stopped, and I got to, like, drive like a race car driver away from nothing. It was an uneventful night.
By the way, for our listeners, I'm about to play you a message from sometimes co-host Lee Capreas. But I also want you to know, if you're having troubles at all with all the ad pop-ups on Blog Talk Radio, please, please give the show a re-listen on iTunes or something, or go to the website, www.thematthewaronshow.com. Fuck Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
All right.
We've
now,
been saying that since, like, episode two.
This is from Lee Capreas. Lee Capreas, let's make sure you can hear it.
Yeah, hold on. Testing.
Hey, I'm probably not going to make the show tomorrow because I don't have my car. It's been impounded, having some problems here, issues with the police. So I don't want to interview a policeman also. Not only do I not have a car, but I don't want to be telling that guy. I spend the duration of that show rooting for people to escape him and his moralistic God lectures. So have fun tomorrow, all right? Bye.
That's two E's, everybody. L-E-E.
That's L-E-E Capreas, K-E-P-R-I. No, A-I. A-I-R-O-S.
Capreas stands for Harry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he was a
big dog fan, Lee Capreas.
Lee is a huge dog fan, in case anyone was curious. Can't you get somebody that made some of those movies that nobody's ever heard of that he likes to watch?
No.
Let's see. Dog the Bounty Hunter, who's apprehended, thousands of criminals?
Yes.
Criminals.
Yes.
Felons.
Right.
Felons. Dangerous human beings.
That Lee is rooting for,
people
by the
who
way.
Have evaded their bonds.
Dangerous human beings. Or Jim Jarmusch, who I love, but okay. You know.
Who?
Who?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. He's a good filmmaker.
I'm sure he is, but who?
By the way, and no bounty hunter can apprehend a fugitive hiding out in Illinois.
Oh, wow.
So if you do want to be a fugitive...
Hey, how about that? You can't apprehend criminals and fugitives in this state, but we got to take away all their weapons because we got to protect the state, make it safer.
Yeah, right. I guess because my sister's begging to call in, among other people, and I usually don't do call-ins.
Yeah, you usually don't. Stick to that.
I'm going to give out the call-in number once.
That's one time.
Oh, man.
I may or may not answer your call, depending on my mood, how I want to deal with the peons.
Yes.
Well, hold on.
The troglodytes
of America.
The last time you took a caller that wasn't one of your, like, somebody like me or Len or somebody.
Listen, I just get psychos.
Well, remember that psycho that was calling for the, was it Kate Kelton?
I get people that hang my guest pictures up in their bedroom and beat off to them late at night and... They're just creepy. But, okay, here's the guest call-in number.
Okay.
One time, that's area code 347-202-0250. 347-202-0250.
One more time.
347-202-0250. And you could probably go to the Blog Talk website. You're probably listening to the show. There's probably a call-in number
there.
There
is. There you
okay, there's a call-in number there.
Yeah.
So just look at that, peon.
Yeah, chill your boners.
Jesus Louise. Here we go. Here's
you got
calls
somebody?
Already.
Oh, God.
Why do you always call when you got music on or something?
Who?
You. I just answered the phone. You had, like... The killers on in the
like
background or the strokes.
Oh, no. That was a power line. I'm about to play kickball.
Wow. Whoa. Tampa Bay.
There's a power line.
Wait. You're playing underneath the power lines?
This is my sister, Sarah Martisa.
Yeah, kind of. Your average park with some white power lines.
They say that causes, like, brain cancer.
Yeah,
or something.
That was a whole thing in Tommy Boy.
Did you live under power lines as a child?
Why?
I say that on radio?
Can you
Mexican
say what you
kids?
This is pretend radio, so you're fine.
How about you just don't insult every race of listener I have? Thanks.
Yeah.
So
well,
why are you calling
here?
In since I can't afford someone to screen these calls?
Oh, I was calling to say hello. I haven't called in a while.
I also have a telephone. That you could call me during normal hours during the day and say hello as well.
Two hours of the week.
Yeah, right.
I will only call your normal phone, I guess.
Okay.
If you promise a co-host on a normal phone conversation. Can you just do me a favor and ask Dog what hair care products he uses?
Oh my God!
I need to know this.
He will love that.
That's
hair
good.
Care
actually,
product. All right, I'll write it down.
Write
hair
that down.
You know,
for
Dog
five,
Chapman hair care. And you know what else I was going to ask him? If he's made friends with any of the felons he's caught.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, for,
yeah,
for 5 cents a caller, I would screen your
You know,
calls.
I got to tell you, I think Dog's an herbal essence kind of guy.
I think so.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm
going to
go. I think he uses, mane and tail.
Mane and tail. I use mane and tail.
I used to use mane and
tail. I use
mane
and tail.
And as you see, it didn't work out too well for me.
I'm still using it.
Where's my mane and tail?
Yeah, but every time I hang out with you and you're not on the pro piece, you're pulling out like clumps of it, and you're like, Maddie.
Oh,
I feel like more than ever.
I got a new pharmacy in Malaysia. They're the best.
What's that? You got a new pharmacy in
Malaysia? Yeah, the one in India was starting to get a little shaky.
You get your drugs from like really odd places, dude.
Yeah. No, they're good.
You know,
all right, they're good.
Honduras.
Honduras
for that stuff.
That's where I get my cigars, sweetheart.
Oh, Honduras.
That's where the good stuff is. It's where the good drugs are too. The good hair drugs, not drug
the good
drugs.
Drugs are in Honduras.
Yeah, it's
all right.
Actually,
I gotta go number one and then kickball. I love you.
Okay,
goodbye.
Go number one and kickball. Thanks for calling.
So, Matt, where do you get your
Viagra? To ask about dog's hair care.
Yeah.
I wrote that one down.
Can't you see him in like an Herbal Essence commercial?
Where do I get my Viagra?
Yeah,
the pharmacy.
Not from Honduras?
Jewel Osco.
You know, you told quite
hey,
the sex
listen,
romp.
Listen, they gotta look at it this way. Do you buy your Propecia for $75 a month with the doctor's prescription that a visit you had to pay for?
And I believe 95% of the drugs overseas that are sold much cheaper and given you are just as effective.
Well,
what I'm afraid of is that 5% that fucks you up.
Here's what people...
And with my luck in life, my Bundy luck,
yeah.
I get the 5% every time.
Here's the difference you got to understand that people don't realize. A lot of these drugs are manufactured in those countries to begin with. And what you're getting is, you know, prepackaged, pre-sealed drugs anyhow. I mean, Maddie, you don't even buy generics. You can get the real thing.
No, I know. I'm wondering if it's the real thing.
No, it is. It comes in the label packaging and everything.
Well, Dog Chapman's show, and he's coming on in a few minutes, but I just wanted to say once again, Dog Chapman, Dog on the Hunt, I believe that's the show, right? It's Dog and Beth on the Hunt, because you can't forget Beth Chapman.
No, she goes with.
Who, by the way, I love her.
What a wife, yeah.
They are made for each other, are they not, Beth and Dog? Like, is there a better duo on TV?
Right. That's a bounty made in heaven.
They are like...
The ultimate bounty.
They even look like they would be together, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you
great.
Look at the two of them, and you think, like, when you see Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman, and you're like, perfect couple.
Right.
You kind of feel the same way about when you see Dog and Beth.
Yeah.
You go, those two people should be together. Right?
Yeah.
Crazy?
Not crazy.
No.
You're not off your rocker.
No, I didn't think so. You used to watch Dog's old show on the A&E. This new show, Dog and Beth on the Hunt. And all new season, actually. So it's he has so many shows. He's got to be loaded, right?
Yeah, he's got a few
shows. I mean, I'm probably not going to ask because he looks scary.
Yeah, he'll hunt you down.
No, he won't. I'm in Illinois.
You're safe.
I'm in Illinois.
You're safe.
Wait till I leave for Wisconsin like Lee and get impounded.
Yes.
What a... You know what?
There's got to be more to
How
that.
Can I tell you something,
there's
though?
There's got to be way more
May
to
I say
that.
Something, though?
Yeah.
His car got impounded because his registration leased a lapsed or whatever.
Is that all? Do they impound cars just for that?
If they feel like it.
Okay.
But let me tell you something. Whose fault is it your registration lapsed?
Was this car registered in California or Illinois?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You just call the DMV in California. You say, I'm out of town. Can you send me my registration to Illinois? I'm working. You know how many people are in the movie business in L.A.? You know how many people call the DMV every year and say, hey, I'm in this such and such state. I'm in Atlanta filming. Can you send my registration? Thanks. Happens all the time.
Yeah, they can paper mail it, email it, fax it.
I'm getting my registration when it's up in November sent here if I'm not gone from California.
Yeah, I see. My problem is I never remember.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to Lee. So now you're going to remember. Now you should get on top of that.
How could your car get impounded in Illinois when your registration's up in California?
That's why I'm saying there's more to it.
Let me tell you something. Illinois doesn't give a fuck that you owe California money.
That's true.
But then he has no Illinois registration. He has no registration at all.
Yeah, but Illinois doesn't care. Your car's not registered to Illinois.
They do care about the tow money.
You know what they do care about?
The impound fee.
They care about the ticket money, and they care about the tow money.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this state's broke. They will give you a ticket for whatever they can.
You know why?
Let's review something. How is this state broke when we have one of the highest populations, one of the highest incomes, and one of the highest tax rates, but we're also the most broke?
Got me.
Well, I can tell you why.
You don't think that could be because they don't know how to spend their money right, do you?
We know a few people who spend it. Just saying.
You know some politicians?
I may or may not.
You do?
Oh. I don't know any.
Yeah, I don't know any of those people. No, no. Mikey and I spend time with the good politicians.
Oh, sure.
I don't even know any politicians. Who?
You know zero. You know
what
none.
Politicians? Do I know?
Yeah, right. You for one. Look in the mirror. That answer was very political.
Very. I learned from the best.
Yeah, you should.
I didn't know.
Well, then I know it's not Kanata. You know. can't stand you.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Did I tell you I'm going to L.A. in a few weeks?
You did now.
I didn't tell the audience.
No. Oh, yeah.
So our friend Len, who people may or may not remember, he's been on the show a bunch, James Gandolfini-looking motherfucker, taking his bar exam while producing this movie. Very busy, Len Kanata.
Very.
Very busy man. He's got a lot of fires in the iron, and a lot of irons in the fire, if you will.
A lot of hands in the cookie
pot. On paper.
Yeah, right. On paper.
Yeah, on paper.
So I'm going to L.A. the 14th through, I think, like the 21st or something for work in July, which is a Monday through a Monday. And Len goes, I'll go. And I go, oh, great. So I'm expecting him to be like, yeah, I'm going to come like the 19th, 20th, 21st, the weekend, and leave. Okay. He goes, I'm going to come Monday through Thursday.
That way I don't miss time at the boat this weekend.
Bingo. Bingo. What is he... What does he do that Monday through Thursday he could just, on a whim, while he's studying for the bar? I go, but you're studying for the bar. He goes, yeah, I'll study at the rooftop pool.
Oh, by the way, intersect here.
I love it.
Mind you, in about 2 months, he's taking 3-5 weeks off work to go to Europe.
Yes. Yes, he is. Yes,
oh,
he is.
Wow.
He's going to Europe.
Wow, that cultured individual.
Italy.
How many vacations has he taken up to this point this year so far?
Couldn't tell you.
Oh, I don't count. I don't count.
He gets more time off than school teachers.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Because he gets the government holidays, too. Let's see.
And that is the roast of Leonard Kanata.
The official government holiday.
It's not a roast. I just think it's funny because, you know, I'd ask Mikey to go to L.A., but, hey, Mikey, are you busy the 14th through the 17th?
Yeah, I have a job.
Oh, I'm sorry. Steve, what are you doing the 14th through the 17th of July?
Hopefully teaching.
Oh, see, you're working,
yeah,
you're
I'm
saying.
Working, yeah.
Oh.
Sorry. I mean, I know.
Who else can go? Len.
I think people like Lenny. And I shouldn't say, we'll remove it, but people like Exhibit A.
Exhibit A, yeah.
Okay. They said they're part of the reason why Chicago is supposedly such a depressed city, because they give an unrealistic expectation of what life's supposed to be like.
Len is very L.A. Listen, I know he screams Chicago when you look at him. When he talks, he screams Chicago. His work ethic, and this isn't a knock, when he gets his work done, it's aces. It's great. A-plus work. He's just like every agent in L.A. That's what he is. He is an L.A. agent who claims he hates L.A., but he'll go on any trip in a moment's notice to L.A. And when he has the bar coming up, mind you. But that's what he is. He's the guy that works like once a week and gets all his work done he's supposed to get done in that week, and he takes 3 weeks off every month. Every month.
God bless him.
God bless.
You know,
hey,
you know,
if you can get away with it, Ari.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say glass houses because if I could, I would.
Listen, we've talked about this on the show a million times.
Yeah.
How many times have I told you I'll be on the horn, I'm supposed to have meetings with people, and they don't take place for months in L.A. because they're very busy. Very busy.
Very busy.
Steve Austin was talking about this on his podcast this week. He goes, you know, everyone in the South just goes at a different speed. And Vince Russo was on his podcast, and Vince Russo used to write for the WWE and WCW, and he's from Brooklyn. And Vince is like, yeah, when I lived in Atlanta, I hated it because you guys just move at this slow speed. And he goes, yeah, that's the South way. And that's how L.A. does it, and that's how Texas does it, and that's how Florida does it, and that's how Florida does it.
No,
and
I'm just saying I can't stand
in
it.
In the South, they get work done, and it can get done well, but at a snail's pace. And
I would hate
people
that.
From Chicago and New York and Boston and Philly, it drives us fucking nuts. Drives us up a wall. I'd argue even people in Cleveland are like, you people are too fucking slow.
Yeah, it's
Listen, if you put me in L.A. for a week and nothing happened, I'd lose my mind. I'd lose my mind. It drives me nuts. When I lived out there for 2.5-3 years, I'm living out there and I'm like, sometimes literally you'd get a meeting and it'd be in 4 weeks. Nothing would happen for weeks. Literally nothing.
Like, what are you doing in the next 4 weeks that you can't figure out time where we can sit down for a fucking hour?
Yeah, right. There, right.
Yeah.
And that the only time that happens in Chicago is when you're dating people. They're like, yeah, I want to date you. How is September 15th looking for you? I go, well, it's June. Can you maybe do June 15th? Mm-hmm. No. I could maybe squeeze you in August.
Yeah, you're like
shit's
the
busy.
You're like the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh no, yeah,
that's like the most amazing.
And I think
date
they mean
earlier.
It too. They may mean
and,
it.
Like, I want to go on dates, like time, mm-hmm. but I'm not looking for anything serious right now. So can we reconvene on this in like 6 months after I fuck like 100 other people?
Well, that's sometimes. But then the other time is, honestly, people like working so much in Chicago. They're almost workaholics. And then I look at their jobs and I'm like, you're a workaholic over that. And they're like, yeah. And they're literally not seeing anyone else. And, yeah, they literally think you're the greatest and want to date you like once a month for the next like 3 years. That's literally how people are. It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts.
No, you're right, yeah.
When I find out they're a workaholic and they are like a manager at Walmart, I'm like, I'm ready to snap.
Burning
I'm
the midnight like, oil over there.
We're working on those night moves, huh, babe? Right. Stocking the shelves
Wait,
at 1 a.m.
Is this dog calling in? Hello. Matthew Aaron.
Hello.
Here. Is this dog?
Hey, guys.
What's
yeah,
going on, brother?
Fine.
All right.
What's happening down there? Down yonder.
Down yonder? Well, you wouldn't know because you're not allowed in Illinois from what I hear. Bounty hunting, you can't do in Illinois. What the hell's up with that?
No, the real statistic is Illinois has the most fugitives of any state in America.
Is that for real? We have the most fugitives. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, it's for real.
What's the problem? Why do we have so many fugitives? You would know better than me.
Back years and years ago, the judges and the bondsmen got in trouble for, I guess, you know, paying each other something financial that you're not supposed to do. So the state of Illinois took out, you know, the bondsmen and, of course, left the judges. So for the city cannot afford to arrest the guys because, you know, the cops are working trying to keep you alive every day, your kids alive. They don't have the money to go catch them. Bounty hunters, believe it or not, 85% of apprehensions in America are made by bounty hunters. 85%. So when you don't have any, you have fugitives running amok because there's nobody to catch them.
And why won't they let bounty hunters know?
Well, it's a bondsman, okay? The bail bondsman comes first, then the person who picks the guy up. It's now called bail enforcement agent. So they need to let, and they're working on allowing private bail back in there because it's just eating up their taxes. That's why there's so many people on the run. They don't go to court because there's no repercussion for failing to appear. The guy knows there's nobody out looking for him, so he can't, you know, he can't get stopped. Of course, at a traffic stop, then they'll catch you.
Yeah, the way.
So, and crime. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
The way I understand it is, as of right now, that actually that responsibility falls on the Department of Corrections in the state of Illinois, and we have our own like version of U.S. Marshals, but the state's not funded to have enough to even remotely start to cover that.
Right, but I don't know how many. That's the first time U.S. Marshals at Chase. Every state has the U.S. Marshals come out of sheriff's departments in every state. Okay, they come out of that department and they become that. So I don't know how many they've got. It's just you know. There's nobody there to pick anybody up. You can't. Guys run from here, from all over the mainland, to Illinois as a safe haven because they know, you know, and they're not going to get a real job. You know, they're fugitives. They're going to break the law.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you have a fascinating story, dog, because you yourself you were a former convict. Is that the way you put it, or how do you say it?
No, that's back then. Yes.
Yeah. So
35 years in Texas. I did 18 months in Texas prison. So I, yes.
And for our listeners, how did you go from that to bounty hunting? Give everyone the background on that, because that's obviously night and day.
Well, it's a long story. I was the warden's barber outside the prison gate. They trusted me enough where I could hold a razor to the warden's head. And one day, as we were putting a guy, one of my friends, in solitary confinement, he broke and ran. And he ran running down the road like a goofy guy. He was running from prison. So I jumped after him and tackled him in the road. And a Lieutenant Hillicus walked up behind me and threw down handcuffs and said, "Hook him up, bounty hunter." So I did. And the warden said, "Of course, you're going to be transferred. You ran down an inmate." I said, "No, I didn't. I saved his life." He told me, "Freeze, too." I thought I felt the bullets, warden, from the shotguns up above. You know what I mean? So that next morning I woke up and I had meetings with all the convict echelon and said, "I saved the guy's life. I'm sorry. They're going to kill him." And I was accepted. So I became Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Wow.
So I got out of prison and went, I used to watch The Sky King and The Lone Ranger and Wanted Dead or Alive. And I knew all those guys had been in trouble, but they went straight, did something, tried to pay back everybody for what they did. And it worked, and they got the pretty girls on the way, right? So I went into the... Right?
Yep.
So I went into the post office in 1980. I went into the post office and took the top 10 and went after them and caught one right then and then hooked up with the FBI. And they said, "Here's where you go. You can do this for bondsmen. You can't do this for us," right? And that's how it started.
Wow, that is a crazy story. That's a unique story, and I guess that is that what Hollywood saw in you, that you got your show?
No, I think I went to Tony Robbins, who's that, the motivational guy?
Yes, we do.
I was one of Tony's guest speakers because I had changed my life. So I met, Martin Sheen is probably who I give the most credit to, and he... said, "What the hell do you do?" And I told him, and he said, "You're going to be on TV." And I always wanted to admit it now that I'm, getting older. I always wanted to be on TV, wanted the people to love me. And, "Hey, what's up, dog?" I'm like that. So I changed my whole life and listened to all that stuff, and I tried to act good to everybody, even though I really want, my heart said, but I just acted good, and I became good. I just acted the part so long and filled my all. I just craved to have those kind of guys around me from TV and positiveness. And, I just knew there was a way to do it. And by God, I got it, thank God.
Wow. And you did it too. I mean, that's what's amazing about your story is I love stories like this. And tell me then how you got hooked up so easily with the FBI catching criminals, though.
Well, the FBI, you take a criminal to the FBI's office on the 13th floor, and you, in most cities, and you say, "I want my money, there's $10,000 reward," and they got to pay you. And they do, and they start asking questions, right?
Yeah.
They're like, "Who the hell are you?" I'm like, "Dog the Bounty Hunter." I'm going to catch these guys, right? So that's how you do it back then. That's how you get it.
Well, now you said back then. How do you do it now?
What do you mean as far as going after guys that are wanted by the feds?
Yeah, especially being on TV, because that's got to be like you got cameras following you and stuff, dog. I mean, isn't that like a signal for the guys to get the hell out?
Well, you would think so, but we surround them so quick because the cameras come in second. We're there. They got wide lenses. They sit back. We blast and clamp. We got now those things that are in the air, what they call, my grandson has a camera, because a lot of guys get out the back.
Yeah,
so
no.
Now they, we have a drone that can sit back there in silence, see if they run it. So it's all changing. It's methamphetamine is taken over the country. I've done this 35 years. I have Jason caught the most, you know, Andrew Luster, 87 counts of rape. I caught the bad guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
A couple Aryan Nation guys I caught. So I've been there, brother. I can see that meth is a violent drug, and it's just easy to get. And now there's Dr. Feelgoods all over America. It used to be 5 years ago that was street drugs. You could buy heroin, get methadone, buy crank, get speed, maybe some ice. Now doctors are prescribing morphine and this cotton and that cotton and some speed drug that's just like meth. It's really the rural areas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, you know, rural America, is that's how they're getting their drugs. So right now it's all in the doctor's hands.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, meth is the big drug right now. And how much, so let's talk about Dog and Beth on the Hunt here on CMT on Saturday.
Okay.
Give us an understanding of how this show is different than the show you had on A&E and what we can look forward to this season on the show.
Okay, so this season we'll talk about, because we've still got, I think, a couple shows to do, but so far, you know, those are done. So, you know, we've been, thank God, I'm not bragging, okay, because you never know, but 11 years on television, we have filmed, and I've always bragged about nothing was shed but a tear. You can't say that no more. There's blood, and there's ambulances, and there, I've never seen a more violent, but there's trickery. We 17-year-olds shooting up heroin. We're tricking them. I've never seen it like this. And we're going with the other show, A&E, we went, you know, stayed in Hawaii, Colorado, trained the family. We went on it after skips. This time we're going state to state, city to city, to bail bondsmen that are, I didn't know this, 87, 88, 89% family also. And we're training them how to stay alive, not shoot everybody, use non-lethal weapons. You can drop an elephant to his knees in a second. Why do you need a lead bullet to kill someone for stealing your stereo? So we're showing these guys that you don't kill them. You could drop them. Boom, you know, you catch them. You try to fix them. Give them a little word of encouragement. Put them back in jail. Get them on the right track, right? Believe it or not, it does work on some people. So it's incredible to see their personalities, the different bail companies. But, like, I can say this, I think, I hope. We got four girls, bro. They hit this guy with a taser, three out of four of them. We talk about saving this guy. They got him, right? I'm like, oh, my God, girls. You know, I think, a really, really hot and good season. We almost got arrested a few times. You know, we were not pursuing that guy high speed. We were, you know, simply following him. We didn't break the 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. I mean, there's some stuff, you know, shoot him out, shoot him up. Unbelievable stuff. Tennessee mountains. They thought we were the revenue man, right? They got traps all set around, barbed wire with razors and stuff. Holes dug that's got cover. I had to get a guy to walk in front of me. It's a great season across the country.
I got to imagine, though, law enforcement, like the local law enforcement in these towns, aren't your biggest fan. How do you deal with the local law enforcement?
Well, we call them up, okay, or we say, if we're in an area, before we get there, would you please not steal our guy, number one. Number two, do you want us to call you and tell you? They all so far have said yes. So then we call them, right? Okay, here's where we're going. So they know, and my guys, I'll fire him if they call a cop names. But that's Big Brother. He's the guy. Yes, sir, no, sir. Okay, dog, we're taking your guy. Yes, sir. Okay, can I get another one? Never had him ever, you know, deny me. Now, if you go in there, yeah, we're the bounty hunter from television, you know, and then you go act like that, you're going to jail. So it's the respect factor. It's a respect factor. You show in their town, you're not a hot shot. You tell them, listen, we're helping, you know, these bondsmen. Cops like it that we're disarming some of the bonds. They know, you know, rubber bullets, wood bullets, tasers, the pepper ball, my God, is incredible. They know that stuff will drop you and put you, incapacitate you, and they like it that we're sharing that with guys that do it every day. male bondsmen and bounty hunters like they do. See what I mean?
Right.
So it's a win-win for them. And we're, again, the most thing I think is we're very respectful to the law because the law is the law, you know.
No, that's
you
good.
You can bend it, but you can't break it.
So let me ask you then, Dog, if you and Beth, did you guys make more money, would you say, off these two TV shows or off of bounty hunting? Like, what has brought you in more success?
Well, success, fame, and fortune, okay? I'm still waiting on the fortune part.
So you're a working man, just like everyone else.
No, really, brother. We're, you know, with A&E, and then we're CMT. We're not CBS, NBC, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But we got a job, and thank God, because there's somebody told me the other day how many channels there were and how many guys try to get on TV, different ideas, and every day. So we're just, you know, extremely lucky, and we have a good fan base, you know, that we're just lucky. That's all I can say.
Fan base loves you, brother. Okay. That's for sure. You have a great fan base.
Thank you, brother. Listen, two things I want to share with you. I'd like to thank you.
Oh, yeah.
An old man told me once, 87 years old, and I said, how did you live to be so old? He was keen, worked out. He's a famous guy. And he said, you know, the Bible says, Dog, that if you honor, that means honor, your father and mother, you shall live a long life. And I was like, oh, is that right? That's what I wanted to share with you. And so, you know, that you have to do. And then the other day, I always try to say a prayer, right, because I'm almost positive there's a God. So, I try to bring God in and read some of the stuff that, you know, has been interpreted wrong in all of our lives that are in the baby boom generation. We all got to change our religion now, basically. And the Bible says if you give God credit or you mention him once in a while, he's going to start blessing you that you won't be able to store this blessings. I just found that out. And I'm always saying, you know, the reason I'm called Dog is God spelled backwards because, even when I was a biker, I was always talking about God and, you know, I can't do that. I can't rob houses on Wednesday night, people in church. God would kill me on the Harley. You know, I used to. So if you give, I think if you give whatever God, a lot of people, some people use Jesus, they use Buddha, Muhammad. There's different ways to get to God, right?
Yeah.
God, Jesus cover everybody. You know, some people eat cows, some don't. You can't, if they don't even have the same diet, how can they worship? But God himself said, I there's no God before me. I don't mean to sound like a preacher, but.
No, I hear you, brother. I hear you.
My success, and it's not bad to say, because we're all freaking, especially men, we're all freaking sinners, you know, bruh. You know what we all think about all day, right? And so if we just give God credit once in a while, you know, boom, yeah, that's, I think, how I have been blessed. I can't see any other reason because, you know, I'm still a male. And terrible thoughts, I think, sometimes. You know.
Well, speaking of doing good,
perverted.
I hear you, brother. But speaking of doing good things, do you mind taking a couple calls from your fans? I'm sure it's like a dream come true for them.
Sure, I don't mind. Thank
okay,
you. That's nice.
All right, let's see what we got here. 832 area code. 832 area code. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there. Who is this? Who are we speaking to? And then I'll let you speak with Dog.
Hey, this is Giselle. I'm also known as Toodaloops. I am in the Dog Pound with Dog and Beth. I just want to say, Dog, you are blessed. What you do is awesome. You don't do it for yourselves. You do it for the communities. You do it for us, Dog Pound. I love y'all. I appreciate you. Thank you, Laura, for giving me the number. So this is Toodaloops, Dog.
Thank you, Toodaloo. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh. God bless, sweetheart.
I think I accidentally cut her off. I thought she was done.
Girl, she was not done.
I thought Toodaloo was done.
No. She's great, man.
She was good.
Dog, all right, here's another one. Here we go. Here's 925. Okay. 925, you're on with Dog Chapman. Hello, 925 area code.
Hello.
Who's here? Hi there. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just, like, so blessed to be hearing you guys tonight, and I just wanted to tell Dog what an amazing impact the show has had on me and my family and my kids, and just how much we love you guys and everything you're doing for all the communities. Just really appreciate and so grateful and thankful to have your show and just everything you do.
I thank you very much, but, you know, it is television, so Beth is not really the boss, you know. They just kind of make it. 65% women watch the show, right? I'm like, what? So they make her sound like she's the head honcho, but I'm really the boss, honey. You know, I just, right?
Thank you for your compliment. Thank you, Jennifer, so much.
Thank you.
Love you.
Wow, that's fine. 65% of the people that watch your show are women, dog. That blows my mind.
What a stat.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's got to make you feel okay at the end of the day.
Well, I think so. Beth tells me it's because of her. I said, okay, you're fine.
She has a big fan base. She does have a big fan base. People love her.
No, listen, let me tell you what the dog count is that we 2 weeks in a row trended on Twitter, right? We went against a continent, this dog pound, right? Which is for the soccer. They come in 10th, and all above was the soccer. So this week, they came in third, and if Beth gets a rude phone call, she sticks the dog pound on them. You know, the prosecutors all across the country, the college member, we need to talk to Beth. We don't know if she could do that. And the guy changes his phone number. Some of the rude calls we get is like, all sex and your babies. It's terrible. So she sits the dog pound, and these people want to commit suicide after the dog pound is done with the ground.
Nice.
I like that.
There's some guys, but they're all, you know, they're not felonious women, but they're on the edge. You know what I mean?
Listen, I know, dog, you're not exactly like a vigilante, right? Which is a superhero talk, if you will. But you kind of... it's two different things. But what you do is you're kind of like your own kind of like entity. And I got to imagine you got to run into some detractors or people that have issue with what you do. What do you say to those kind of people?
They don't tell me nothing to my face.
All right.
You know, I want to sprinkle on the internet or something, the haters. You know, there'll be a law someday where people can't do that real soon, I'm sure. But using people to my face, one guy, I can barely remember one guy saying it. Using alcohol around, then there's trouble, you know. So I don't go to open bars or nothing. But any kind of use, I've tried book signings at bars, there's always a fight or... You know, usually the alcohol, you go to Vegas and everything's fine until about 7, and then everybody starts drinking heavily, and, you know, there's trouble there. But usually alcohol, but no one has said, I don't know what they would say. Who you think you're a cop? And I say, no, I'm Dog the Bounty Hunter. You know, this law was passed in the 1800s. It's one of the oldest laws on the books in America. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. The Old West.
And bail, the law says bail is a continuance of original imprisonment. So they're not free to do what they think. They got caught with the money, the gun, in the bank, and they're out on bail. So who would people rather have babysitting this devil's herd, so to speak, than me or someone like Beth or other bond companies that have families that you adopt these criminals, basically. Okay, you're going here, you're going there, you're doing this. What the hell? We should be getting paid triple.
Right.
You know, I work probation officer. What do you see the guy once a week?
Yeah.
You know, let me see a UA, blah, blah, blah. We're into their life almost daily. You know, 300 people. It's amazing, but it's totally amazing, you know, that so no one talks bad to me because then I tell them that. You want to do it? You know, you want to babysit them? Right. Well,
go ahead, Mikey.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, when you have all these naysayers and everybody who is anybody in a public figure sense is always going to have somebody on the internet, somebody who's going to harass you. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. But when you have to deal with all that, then you have experiences like you had when you were at Moose Heart over in Batavia, which is actually about 2 miles from my house. And you see all those little kids and everybody that's happy to see you and everything like that. Experiences like that got to make everything else just worth dealing with to have that.
No, it does. And I've listened to, you know, mostly country by life. And some of the My Country Heroes, Women and Men, you don't read that stuff. You don't dwell on that stuff.
Right.
Everybody has their opinion, and some people don't like you, then turn the channel. You know, it's not your fault you're that way. And so I can't, because you know why? You see, 25 Dog, we love you. We'd follow you through hell, brother. You know, you're like, oh, God, these are, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then somebody's like, yeah, you could see your bald spot in every shot. And you all of a sudden, you're like, oh, you know what, right?
Yeah, right. Yep.
And you start,
hey, welcome to my life, brother.
Yeah. No, but you fall into the trap, and then you spend. What got me one time was this little girl wrote me about, like, I want you to buy me a doll. I'm just being hypothetical, right? And so I'm like, okay, and I kept going down to Twitter, and this guy said, you know, your bald spot, blah, blah, blah. So I immediately fired back, you know, let me see your mama, punk, you know, blah, 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 right? And so the little girl wrote me, she goes, I just wanted a doll, but if I said something about your bald spot, you'd call me. Oh, no.
Wow.
How many?
That's
but
great.
I know, and how many dolls do you, she's 9 years old. Honey, how many dolls do you want go right now? But so I quit that. I said that, I, you know what I hit? My wife has this famous saying, watch this, honey, block.
Yep, you're right. Let me ask you about your amazing wife. You guys are together like 24/7. You got to work together. You got to go everywhere together. How do you guys make it last? Honestly, how do you guys make it last without having any time to really be apart?
Oh man, see now I am her slave, basically. You know, I'm telling you. No, the other day she's like. I'm like, okay, you know, she was looking good that day. God, she's looking good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like this every day. And so I said, well, but you got to ask when you're married to the middle of the day. You got to say, what about tonight, baby? So I tell her, you sure looking good. You know, this would be nice. Tonight is going to be great. She's like, we'll see if you catch him or not. And I'm like, no, you can't use your, all of a sudden now this is happening. Now, in her marriage, she's using, you know, as I told her, you work for me right now. This is not Dwayne. This is Dog. You are not Alice. You're Beth. You, and now she's like, no, we'll see how you act through the day. And, I, you know, this is a true story. I'm not just trying to be funny.
No, I believe you.
So it's bothering me. It's bothering me a little bit. I'm talking to her about it. But I love her. Don't trust her. So I don't want, you know, I'm with her all the time. All these women are liars. So I'm with her. I know what she's doing. She don't trust me, she says. I love her. I love that woman. I was away from her for 7 days. We just did a 6-week run. Oh, God. And I was away 7 days before we started the 6 week. And by the third and fourth, first, you know, I was like, God, you know what? She's whatever. And by the third or fourth day, I was, like, dying. And it wasn't because I was sexy deprived. You know, it was because I was like, where is that girl? I love her, man. And I want her, not all the time. Sometimes, you know, we get on each other's nerves. But I just want her around me all the time. And if there's a heroic thing I think that she will like to turn her on that I do, if I tell her about it, she thinks of lying.
So you kind of...
So she's there.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if she's there, she's like, you just want to get laid. She's telling me, I said, baby, you should, your nose is broken. Yeah, but you should see the other guy, you know. The skinhead headbutted me, you know. Skinhead headbutted me when I cussed him because I was calling names in space. Wham! Oh, my God. I should have shut my mouth, right? So she was all mad because she wasn't there and called me a liar, blah, blah, blah. So way back when she was 19 and 20, I started bringing her, sit in the car, blah, blah, blah. She used to be really nice Italian girl, a Mennonite, believe it or not. She was the senator's secretary at 18. What a nice little girl. She says, you ruined me. I made her mean like that. Like, you know, I did.
It sounds like you guys have the recipe down. One, you can't really, like, explain it. You just know you love her. And then two, it sounds like you have a little bit of bickering, and, you know, you have that little bickering, and then you have the hot makeup sex. That's what it sounds like.
Well, you know, here she does. You know, there's there's certain ways to say don't bicker, don't fight. You can't do that. There's people here at all. Okay, that's I have no idea how they do it. I think it's good. I used to sell Kirby's, and one of the things they taught me was farmers' wives die. Some of the they die first than any other job in America. The farmers back then in the 70s were mean to their wives. Give me that Bertha, choke that chicken right now, get her. And so right then I started realizing as a young guy to treat, the women nice. So I treat her very nice. That's what it is, and it makes me feel good when she says good things back. And then we always have one thing. We don't do things. We don't use the word divorce ever.
No, nice.
And we don't, the Bible says, don't let your son go down on your wrath. And I always have to remind her of this. I go, and what I guess she says that means is don't be mad all the way to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So right at the last, she'll say, or I'll say, I forgive you. I'm sorry. That's okay. It's still my fault.
That's good. Man. Yeah, listen, that's why I love you, dog. We're like the same height, same bald spot.
You.
But you do have better hair. You do have better hair surrounding the bald spot. My sister wanted to know what kind of hair product you use for that.
I have no idea. She buys me the
Yeah, right. It's whatever the bottle is in the shower.
Yeah, that's a question for Beth, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she goes to Kmart and gets me the stuff. She has a special guy, Uncle Ray takes care of her and all the products, but I just get the regular.
Oh, that's great. And let me, I was wondering, have you ever made friends with any of these fugitives that you've caught, like later on maybe?
Oh.
Like, is it ever like the movies?
Listen, so many, bruh, so many, you would not believe it. So many,
yeah.
They've died. What's bad is... they go straight, and then they do stupid. They backslide. All of them do. It's just how long you backslide, right?
Yeah, right.
They do that load. They do as much dope that they're used to doing when they were doing it, and then they're dead.
Mm.
And they've been straight for like 2 years, and then dead. Oh, all he did was this. Oh, shit. So that, but yeah, they stay in touch a lot. And dog, I'm doing better. And I'm doing great. You got to do that, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get to heaven and say, well, who was I responsible for, Lord? And he's going to open up the book of all them guys I caught.
Mm.
And tell me that right there is who you're responsible for. So I feel that,
Yeah.
So I got to be that way to them and give them. There are some like baby rape and sexual assault and all that.
Oh, wow.
You've noticed on my show for all these years. A couple sexual assault I've chased. Touchers. But full force incense, all that, I ain't chase them because I would beat them.
Yeah, no. That's why I was going to ask you, too. I was going to ask you, how do you hold back from getting violent on some of these thugs?
Well, there's some you want to, because if they do us, then we blast them. Because all of us, especially my team, is all former boxers. They know how to, one, two punches, they're out. So, and that's good. We have a team that's tremendous, okay? But if they get like that, then we knock them right out. But you can't, you got to give them that chance because some of the stories, why are you burglarizing the house, you scumbag, blah, blah. Yeah, well, you've never been raped by your father. And you're like, what? Hell no, my dad didn't even say the word sex,
Yeah.
My dad was a white man from the Navy, never even said them words. My mother was Chiricahua Apache, and she never said it either. So you sitting there by a guy that you think of your parents wouldn't even, my dad wouldn't even hug you. You shook your hand. He's in the Navy, right?
Yeah.
They had to make him, my family had to make him on the Indian side to do hugs. So to think that your own father would do that, then you got the guy right next to you in the car, and you're thinking, oh, my God, no wonder he's robbing people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an excuse, but that happens to you right then, and then you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe this poor idiot, right?
Steve, do you got anything for dog?
I do. I have one kind of out of left field question, and hopefully someone else has asked you this. Do you ever pal around with other reality TV folk? Is that normal? Because I do.
Is it a community?
Is it a community? Exactly. Is it community? Like, because I kind of look like the illegitimate son of Ron Shirley, and I always watch that show. So I'm like, I could see you two palling around, like you and Ron.
You mean, do you pal around with other reality people? Because the phone cut out a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, you try to. There are some that, I won't say that, are the upper echelon, and they're like, you know, nobody's friend. So, but yeah, because you're in the same business. Listen, I did some Hawaii 5-0 episodes. I did a George Lopez, I think it was my first. And they gave me something to say, right? And
yeah.
I'm like, what? You mean I don't have to, like, be cool right now and just, you know, you're giving me, when you're in reality television, all the cameras are watching you, you better be cool and you better be yourself.
Wow.
You know, you better, you know it. I don't care what they say. You know that camera's pointed at you.
Absolutely.
Now, if they give you something, so acting, you know, blah, 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 act like that, that is easier, I think, than trying to get. You have to bare your soul. Okay, this I'm going to tell you right now. This Saturday, swear to God, to all of our gods, I swear right now, get a box of Kleenex.
9/8 Central, CMT, Dog and Beth on the Hunt, Saturday.
This is not acting. This is not acting, but I wish I could have. I wish this show, I could have acted, and it wasn't real. So it's not like acting is easy to me, but it's easier than reality television. Okay.
Yeah. No. And that's interesting because you're talking about the show Dog and Beth on the Hunt and Saturday. You're saying grab some Kleenex. Steve and I talk about this all the time. A lot of reality shows are scripted. Now you're a bounty hunter. I don't know how the hell we can script that. So obviously, very little scripted. Is any of it scripted? Any of it?
Not. They cannot. We. This is the Viacom, bro. These are big. This is big stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
They catch you doing that, you're done.
Wow.
This is you better bear fly on the wall, CMT, and Electus, which is Chris Grant, who's got like 15, 19, 21, whatever, shows on television, right? And they film what's going down. So you can't, and if, you know, if they tell you, like a producer may say, all right, dog, well, you know, when are you going to let this guy off the mat? And I'll say, and I'll be, you know, and I just walked out of the ring. It's 10 rounds. I knocked the guy out. Don't even frickin' talk to me. Shut up, Erica. Oh, yes, sir. You know, it's like that because it's so real. So, no, they can't. They don't. Because you can't tase someone and say, come on, brother, we didn't get the shot. Will you run again and let us tase you? They'd be like, sure, I'll call my lawyer first.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you let us tase you again?
All right.
Yeah, now, we do hide. One thing we do is hide the sources sometimes. Sometimes they say this guy could never know I told. You never know when we do that. Or some people say, I want him to know it was me. And we say, okay, then sign the release and we'll let it fly. But sometimes we get confidential informants that we can't give out. You know what I mean?
Right,
yeah.
And the only part we're cutting is the phone call from them telling us where he's at. And then we say, our confidential informant said he might be at this address. We don't show you that it was his sister, rah, 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 rah. You know, that's it. The rest is all real.
How do you guys do set visits on your show? Are there set visits to, like, if you guys need a reporter to come by and, like, cover the show, whatever, can you even do a set visit? That's got to be crazy. It's almost like on the job.
Well, it is. We have security behind us also, plus our team. That we also have a couple production vans that are real close area. We're watched by radar. So you stay in one of those. You wear a bulletproof vest. You got like almost an armored vehicle, so you're protected. You don't get out like basically until we get the guy, you know, covered. You got to watch it, especially now, guns, like I told you. So it's, you got to be careful. I've done it, I think, a couple times. The network has, you know, for the, when you have a photo shoot for every season that comes out. And I think the network has sent out a couple action guys, like, on the sideline taking pictures, yeah.
That's very that, okay. So it is safe at least. That's good. And Dog and Beth on the Hunt. It's Saturdays on CMT. You said there's some blood this year. There's some violence. I mean, this is definitely a crazy year for the show.
Well, it is. Like I say, the drugs and the stuff in the rural areas in America are, it amazed me. I mean, I thought it was just in the cities, you know, and I've heard always, yeah, it's moving to the country, moving to the rural. I thought, yeah, whatever, but it is. I mean,
yeah Matt's the real problem out there.
And then my last question for you, the last Matthew Irwin question is, since you're on CMT and since my idol Stone Cold Steve Austin's on CMT, have you guys met?
I just met him at the Country Music Television Awards in Nashville.
How awesome was he?
He's as big as Dwayne Johnson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He's as big as The Rock. He's like Hulk. I think might be a little bigger. Terry?
Yeah.
But those names,
so you know Hulk,
you know,
too?
Like,
I'd love to see you and Hulk in the same room. That's
listen,
gold.
He is a really good dude, bro. You know that, right?
He's
really kind. Yeah, he's a good. But I like to see them do like one of them movies that Stallone and Arnold and them do.
The Expendable movies.
Yeah, or like a Sinbad the Sailor or something.
I love. Are you a wrestling fan, Dog?
You know, once in a while, back in the day, my father, my God, was I back in the Sheik and the Crusher, and took me into the Coliseum. But you know, I don't have all kinds of time to watch, but I keep up with who has the title and, you know, stuff like that. I don't sit down like a football game. I sit down and watch, but you know, not a lot of wrestling. But
what is Dog watching his free time and whatever little free time you have? What's your interest? Football, UFC, movies.
I like movies. It just came out 300 something.
Oh, the new 300.
You know, I'm watching that. You know, my boys are gonna watch it. Yeah, Beth's not watching it. And then Godzilla.
Okay.
Movies that, you know, I want to go see. But I watch, like, a lot of Fox News, okay, because of what fugitives running. Like, there's a prison escaping running from Alabama right now. And then I watch, believe it or not, The View, because I want to hear what the women have to say that day and how Beth is going to be and what happens.
Do you ever roll your eyes when you listen to the women on The View? Sometimes I watch The View. I watch The View, too, sometimes, Dog, I'll tell you. And most of the time I'm like, oh, I love Whoopi, and I love whoever, and blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes I roll my eyes.
Well, you know, because they need a guy's – they had one years ago, but they need another one, a guy's view, you know, something else.
Yeah, right.
We need men on there too.
I'd watch a male show called The View with Dog Chapman.
Dog's View. What about Dog's View?
Yeah, Dog's View.
Come on.
That's good.
I'd like to comment. Let me give you a view. Everybody's just at the president right now for letting those five guys go, right?
Yeah, right.
So let me tell you what probably they did. I have not said to anyone this, but I think Sean Hannity's door tell you first. Okay?
All right.
He's dark. I think he is off this week. So what if, before those five guys went to sleep, this is now, the Bible says that King Solomon surrounded himself with men of wisdom.
Right.
I think Obama has now got some better backup, surrounded himself with better wisdom. So let me say, and, you know, I'm not a fan completely of all of his decisions because I'm a Republican, but what if they, like, gave those guys some kind of kill in their food, and they went to sleep. They have now some stuff that they can put in a dog that dissolves, and it's like a radar. You know where your dog is. Before they had the chip, now the chip dissolves. They have stuff they can put in those five guys and track them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, they hit, hey, did you know they hit two of the top Al-Qaeda lately?
No.
Since those guys been out?
No.
Yeah. So what if those guys, you know, I hope to God he did something like that. But then I think that's, you know, subjects I like to talk about.
That's awesome.
You know?
fugitive stuff, right?
I need to get Dog and Nick Searcy on the show at the same time.
Yeah, that would be
And fantastic. Then I'm the next Sean Hannity.
Wait. And Stone Cold.
And Stone Cold. That's
yeah,
right.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Dog, I'm so grateful you joined us. I'm going to let you go enjoy your evening. Dog and Beth on the Hunt, of course, Saturdays, 9, 8 Central on CMT Television. We're happy you're back on again this season, and we're looking forward to it.
Thank you, guys. God bless you. Aloha.
Thanks,
brother.
Dog. Thank you
God,
too, brother.
God bless, Dog. Thanks, Dog.
You too, brother. Aloha.
Aloha. I forgot he lives in Hawaii now.
Yeah.
He's so interesting, that man.
Awesome.
He is a fascinating man. His whole life. Here's the thing. Here's what I love about this guy more than anything. What I love about Dog Chapman is, find me another Dog Chapman. You know how, like, you see a guy in Wall Street, and I could literally show you, like, 300 guys just like him?
Yeah, there's, like,
they look alike. They sound alike.
300 Gordon Gekkos driving the
yeah,
same car.
They do the same thing. Yeah. They have the same life. Find me another Dog Chapman.
Not going to happen. Won't happen.
He is a unique individual. When history is written, as ridiculous as this sounds, when history is written, Dog Chapman's the guy you write about because there's not any other Dog Chapman.
Right. Name another Mark Twain.
Right, right. He is Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
Yes.
Except
yes.
A little different. Well, a little shorter and... Same bald spot.
Right.
Yeah, well, Dog, if you're listening.
Man, Dog's like me. He talks about that bald spot like it's going. It obviously bothers him.
And you know what's messed up?
It doesn't bother me.
Here's something that women don't understand. He's probably had that bald spot for 25 years.
Oh, right.
And he still thinks about it like
By the way, how bad do you want to be in that room with Stone Cold and Dog Chapman and Terry Hulk Hogan?
Absolutely. I would. Oh, God.
That is literally. First of all. We're the only city folk in that room. Second,
yes. Oh wow.
Is Terry from?
He's from Florida. We're all north of the Mason Dixon line.
Well, at least Terry's Italian.
We're the north of the Mason Dixon line. Is what I'm saying. Yeah, Terry Bollea. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the most Irish looking Italian you'll find.
And you know what's funny
actually,
is?
No, his hair's all dyed.
You know what's funny is? You know who the liberal of that group is? Stone Cold.
Yeah, it is. That's the other mindfuck.
He's a Texas liberal though. Which is a lot like being a Chicago Chicago Democrat.
Right.
Right. It means, yay, gay marriage, don't take my money.
I ain't taking Stone Cold's money. He'll beat me up. God damn. That's great. Well, I tell you.
So what was your feelings on the Dog interview? I mean, obviously he was sitting outside. It's windy. Caesar's like, maybe you could tell him to go to another room. I'm like, you tell Dog Chapman to go to another room.
He's going
to
hunt you down.
He ain't going to just hunt you down. Dog Chapman will take you. Here's the thing. I was going to ask him this question, and then I realized the answer just, there is no answer. It's just who he is. I was going to say, are you ever afraid or fearful of any of these situations you're in? And I'm just going to tell you right now, the guy would say no.
No.
He just doesn't feel it.
You know what? I honestly would think you would probably say that he's always afraid and always worried that something's going to happen, but you just can't think about it. Like, 'cause a lot of these guys that do this crazy stuff, they're always aware of the danger, but it's not something they can focus on, or otherwise they can't do their job.
And by the way, 18 months might harden you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean... I think it would.
Well, listen, 18 months put in the situation he was put in will harden you up a bit. Now, 18 months in some minimum security, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
but you're getting shotgun shot in your fucking back and legs and shit. That may harden you up a little bit.
It's an experience that's going to change
your outlook.
Let's
put it this way. He got his name, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Not outside the slammer, inside the slammer. When you get the nickname Bounty Hunter in the slammer,
that's intense.
Something happened. And that's what I find so fascinating about the guy is, I didn't know that. Did you know that story?
No.
That he got called the Bounty Hunter inside the
I had
inside
no idea.
The cage.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, you doing all right over there?
You're producing.
I'm literally
rapidly
texting fans while talking to you guys. We had so many people that we get a lot of people listening to the interviews, but we don't get this kind of response on the yappity yap.
Well,
like I usually get an email like an hour later and then a couple emails overnight and then whatever. They're like, great interview, love the show today, man, blah blah blah. But during the interview I'm getting like
Yeah, and for as much as an asshole as you apparently are, you just made dreams come true, bro.
Yeah. All right.
Making dreams come true.
Let's not make a big thing out of it.
I'm going to martyr the fuck out of you. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No. It's good. It was a really great interview.
Let me ask you something. Do two people who don't like talking about themselves, can they work in a relationship? You don't like talking about you.
No, I hate it.
Some chick that you're with doesn't like talking about her.
Right. Oh, I've had this happen before.
How do you work?
Oh, man. You find other things to talk about. It's weird. You find, like, really... Like,
that's just got to be weird to me. If two people... I was asking a relationship question, Mikey.
Yeah.
You don't like talking about you. This is pretend, obviously. And
I really don't, though. Not relationship.
I know.
It's actually hindered myself.
And some chick doesn't like talking about her, right? So let's say you're going out with some broad, okay? And she don't like talking about herself. And you don't like talking about you. You don't want to talk about the cigar business. You don't want to talk about the movie. You don't want to talk about whatever, Len, me, your family. You just don't like talking about you. And she feels the exact same. She doesn't want to talk about her business and her personal life. How do you guys date?
You find something to relate on.
Yeah, but then I feel like
listen.
It's very casual. You know what I'm saying?
No, at some point all that stuff's going to come out. You can't have a conversation. Me and Steve, if we met on a bus one day,
By the way, Pat wants me to let people know real quick. There'll be cleaner, better-sounding audio in the interview. I have to edit together the first 30 minutes with the interview because I didn't tape the first 30 minutes. I got to tape the interview. I taped the interview, so I have to cut in the interview, splice it in. It'll be a couple hours or tomorrow morning. So if you want to hear a cleaner version of Dog's audio, I'll clean it up for you guys, and you'll hear it in the morning. But go ahead, Mikey.
No, my point is if you meet a random stranger on the bus, you're going to start a conversation based off a common issue. A common issue, anything that you're going to have enough education on to have a relatable conversation is going to be something that's going to be some sort of a hobby or an interest to you. So there's no way you can have a conversation with somebody unless it's something that relates to themselves and is going to be a part of their own personality.
Bingo.
So in any sort of way, you're going to have some sort of conversation.
Well, you're going to have to at some point.
You know what I'm saying? It's the initial conversation.
I just feel like the first three, four dates got to be fucking boring.
It's not going to be that bad. You're going to have conversation.
Like, I don't even know where you work after date one.
I've been hindered before, like, business
situations. This is how you end up dating CIA agents.
Well, I've been in
you don't ask.
I've been in situations, relationships, where, like, the girls will legitimately be asking you, like, so how was your day? Like, what'd you do? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, the introverts are the hardest to date for me.
So. And they're like, and that's the thing. They're like, and I realize that after like five dates that like I'm feeling at this because I don't want to talk about myself. And I always want to talk about them, and they're finally like, listen, I don't want to talk about me. Like,
yeah, I'm way more interested in you than you are in me.
Yeah, right.
Or than I am in me, what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, you've seen this when we go out. For a guy who's making a movie, making a TV show, I just wrote another pilot, I got the radio show. How much do I ever talk about when we go out? Never.
No, never.
Not even when there's hot chicks around.
We'll
not
go
even
to each other.
Yeah, we'll bullshit about it in the car. We'll talk, but that's kind of work. You're involved in a lot of those projects.
Right.
You're involved in a lot of those projects.
But it's our own
relationship. But what I'm asking is when we're at Richard's and some hot broad comes over, I never tell them what I do, ever.
No.
And you know what the worst part
ever
is? And I've had this experience when I try to tell certain people, you know, women or whoever else about experience I've had in my life, then they just think you're lying to them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, all right, whatever.
Oh, I usually hope that they think I'm lying, because then I can tell a real yarn. It's like, all right, cunt, if you think I'm lying, fine, I'll spin a yarn. And by the way, Matt, let me just use a really weird example for you. You talked about two people who don't like talking about themselves. Well, you go on outings with people where you just have common interests, and then it blossoms into yourself.
See, but this is what bothers me about all this, too.
Okay.
First date goes well because we didn't talk about anything serious. Second date, this has literally happened to me three or four times since I came back home. So since Thanksgiving.
Right.
Second date goes well. You didn't really talk about anything. Maybe you get to second base. You hook up a little bit. Third date, you finally talk about what you do. And these are the three common things I always get. Oh, you may move back to L.A.? Number one, with a bullet, Family Feud. Number one. Bing, 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 bing.
Steve Harvey says number one.
Yeah. Right. What's number one? You may move back to L.A.
Right.
That's not my plan. If I have to, it'll be temporary. I want to make movies in Chicago forever. If I have to go make TV in L.A., I'll make TV and I'll come right back to Chicago.
Ooh.
Number two, this always happens. What's Zac Efron like?
Oh, God.
I don't gossip. I don't want to hear it. Listen, I know so much celebrity gossip that it's
nauseating.
It is. It's nauseating. Mikey knows. Mikey knows. Mikey is usually the only person I'll gossip with celebrity gossip about, because Mikey is usually my go-to about any story for the first time. Okay? Or Pat Tobias. Pat's the other guy. Not even Lenny. I don't even gossip with Lenny about celebrities, nothing. So I'll tell Mikey a story about, I saw Denzel Washington at a party. And I have told you these stories.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
I will never, never tell that story again. I have no interest in it anymore. It's old news to me.
Yeah, right.
And that leads me to number three. Then you meet the friends.
Oh, boy.
And they're friends. By the way, they all act like they like you in your face, and then they end up hating you behind your back because everyone's jealous of you or hates you for some reason. There's a lot of haters in Chicago.
Yeah.
Haters.
Yeah.
And
this town hates everyone.
This is what happens every friend I meet. What's so-and-so like? What's Hollywood like? What are you doing? What are you working on? Tell me about L.A. Tell me about Hollywood. I don't want to talk about any of that shit. Can we talk about the Bears? Yeah. Or, like, fucking this new taco joint that opened up? Or how overrated Rick Bayless is? Can we talk about anything else?
You know,
I'm so bored by Hollywood. It's that if people knew what Hollywood was really like, they'd snore.
Here. I have two qualifications I found on dates now. Question number one. Do you like Parsons? Yes. Strike one. Question number two. Have you ever been to or know the location of the Galloway Bar? Yes. Strike two. You're fucking out.
If you know where Galloway's is, you're out. Yeah. You're right.
What's Parsons? I'm being serious.
Here's the thing that bothers me. You know what Galloway's is.
Oh, I do. Oh, because...
Well, it's literally like blocks from your house. It's on Roosevelt.
About Galloway's because I inadvertently told the girl of the guy who owns the place that the place is a dive, STD-ridden dump.
I told you about the only time I went there.
You know the... You know the lodge is closed, right?
Yeah. No, it's back open.
Oh, it's back open again?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
So, you're Galloway's.
The guy died.
Right.
And his family pretty much reopened it like a month later.
Damn.
Tribute to Dad.
It's a cash cow.
Listen,
why not?
Listen, did you ever expect a little class out of the lodge?
None.
Never.
All right.
None.
That's all you need.
It's actually gotten actually more classy now that neighborhood's turned into condos instead of apartments.
Oh, I was going to say they get more classy after Playboy rated it like the number four place.
What happened was,
as
everybody who came back from college that didn't want to live with mom and dad rented an apartment there.
It's cheap. It's like $500 a month for a one bedroom. Oh, no?
No.
Not even
What has happened? Here's what happened.
Wait, really? I didn't know this.
I'll give you a quick story. That's the way it was, which is why it was the SEC.
Like a year ago.
World,
like a year ago.
You had 5,000 24-year-olds that wanted to fuck, down a lodge and screw.
Right, what happened to a year ago?
No, it wasn't. No, it was more than that.
Really?
Basically, what's happened now is a lot of the apartments got converted to condos. You had people that bought them, spent $100,000, $80,000, $150,000. So that general demographic is now turned into a 32 to 40 range. And so you still have a lot of that hanky-panky going on, but not at the same rate.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now how much it is for an apartment at the lodge.
I will tell you this. It's the only bar I can ever say.
Prices did go up.
Yeah.
$886 for a one bedroom.
That ain't that cheap.
No, $1,630 for a two bedroom.
That's definitely not
but
cheap.
But let me tell you something else. I've been in there since I've been home. Now, all the towers are kind of different because they converted some and then they did not convert others.
Yeah.
That place is so old. I mean, it's not exactly the ugliest place on the planet inside, but the place is so old. I mean, it just smells like STDs in the fucking hallways.
Oh, you're talking about in the lodge?
Not the bar. I'm talking about in the towers.
Oh, yeah.
The towers. The towers are so old. The architecture inside. There are doors to some of these apartments that are like those old, like, I don't even know how to explain it, like doors in Ghostbusters. You know, they're like these big, huge doors you got to move, like, with two hands. And, like, oh, it's insane. It's actually a really fascinating place to lodge. You could probably film a hell of a Shining sequel there.
Yeah. Does it have a touch of class at the lodge?
Let me tell you something. Listen, it's the only place I've ever gotten propositioned by. I had women coming up to me and being like, hey, you want to see my bed sheets? I just bought new ones.
Hey-o. Well,
I mean, I'm not going to tell you it was like, you know, girls that look like, you know, Gloria Estefan running up to me. But,
sure.
You know, I'm just saying it was an interesting experience.
Absolutely.
By the way, I do want to thank Dogs fans again for tuning in and listening.
Oh, what great fans.
I know the Dog Pound is a very loyal breed. No pun intended.
None.
And I really love his fan base. And by the way, they have been blowing up our Twitter. Dog has written two bestsellers, and I did not bring that up, and I should have. But out of fairness, I wanted to get the important stuff out of the way. I wanted our listeners to get to know Dog, because we will have him on again. He's fantastic. And we'll get to know Dog even more over the years. We expect a long, long time of doing interviews with Dogs.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just so blessed you guys tuned in. Thank you. People just love the interview, and that's
good.
Great.
That's excellent. That's wonderful.
So you're saying I did a better interview than Sean Hannity? Well,
that's what we heard.
Well,
yeah.
You know what I've found? Can I tell you something that's true? And I'm not trying to piss people off.
Don't lie to me. I only want the truth.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to piss people off, and I'm not trying to like
stir the pot.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
Whenever we have Republican guests on the show,
this
is going to start a shit storm. I should not do this.
Are you about to brag over here?
No, this is not bragging.
No bragging. Okay.
When I have Republican guests on the show, they have the most loyal fan bases. And not only that, they have the nicest fan bases. Courteous, respectful, nice, kind fan base.
There's a lot of things I'd like to say right now.
When I have my liberal friends on the show, they're not mean. I'm not saying the fan base is mean. It's just very
cold,
nihilistic.
Exactly. It's very cold.
I don't know
like,
if nihilistic's a word, so I shouldn't say
no,
it. But there's
no,
a
but
there's a sense of nihilism to it where it's just like not caring.
Right. It's just cold and like fake, like just ice.
I just Republican guests have these fan bases that respect and appreciate their idols.
Well,
giving this interview time and talking about real things so much. And I'll have on some of the greatest liberal guests in the world, and no one cares.
You know, I think part of that is the PC. A lot of your Republican guests don't give a fuck about the PC.
But listen, we don't talk about anything crazy.
No.
When have Nick Searcy and I ever talked about anything Looney Tunes? Dog and I, we brought up sex once, and we just talked about how it's hot because they fight. And it is. That's the best sex to have.
I don't know what to tell you, brother.
Yeah, I don't. But am I crazy about it? Am I crazy about it, though?
I think we have some great guests.
No, Dogs fans are great. Knicks fans are great. What other Republicans have I had in the show? I've had a bunch. Don't get me wrong. I'll tell you what. Some of the most loyal fan base we have Democrat-wise. Alan Spencer has a great Great fan base.
Yeah.
I love his fans.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I've literally become good friends with our guests. I mean friends, not like L.A. friends with our guests who have the most loyal fan bases. And it's just, it wasn't on purpose, but like Ron Zimmerman.
Right.
Ron's got a real loyal following.
Ron's great.
And I love Ron.
Yeah.
And Ron's a good friend.
He's another one. How many Ron Zimmermans are there out
zero,
there?
Zero. You will always be able to tell stories about Ron Zimmerman because he is in the Hunter S. Thompson crazy case.
Yeah.
And Ron's just one of those guys you're always going to talk about. I know Searcy's a Republican, Pat. I said that. Is Tobias only listening?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are the words skipping? Is Blog Talk fucking up?
Maybe. Hey, I might give him some BLD.
Gary Sinise. These are brought up. Tom Dreesen.
Yeah.
Tom Dreesen. We had a huge,
he was great.
Huge listen. And Tom Dreesen, by the way, Tom Dreesen, classiest guy I've ever dealt with. He had me call him at his office. I asked Tom, I go, Tom, you want to do the show? He goes, yeah, I'd love that, Matt. Call me at my office tomorrow morning. Old school. Old school. His best friend's Clint Eastwood. These are two 70, 80-year-old guys
right. Who
do things old school. So I had called Tom at his office, 9 a.m. He goes, call me 9 a.m. This never happens anymore.
Never.
This is how
old
school Tom Dreesen is and how awesome he is. This is awesome. I call him at his office. His secretary puts him on before he goes to golf. He's sitting with me on the phone for like 30 minutes before he goes golfing, telling me stories about Letterman and Rickles and Clint and Pesci and Nicholson and all these guys he golfs with and his best friend for a long time was Sinatra. And, I'm just sitting here. And I'm like, Tom Dreesen wanted me to call him to shoot the shit, make sure I'm a cool dude. But this is awesome. I love Tom Dreesen, Republican, awesome guy. Gary Sinise, great fan
he
base.
He was fun.
And
he
what
was,
a nice guy. Sweetheart.
He was very nice.
Complete,
guy.
Total sweetheart is Gary Sinise.
You know what's interesting to me is that you, necessarily broke it down that way. I mean, I don't really think one way or the other. I just don't.
Can I give you another example?
Please do.
Mike Binder. Let me do his show from his first restaurant. Republican. Let me give you another example.
Joe Montana.
Another Republican. Next restaurant I did. I wouldn't be shocked now if I find out Victoria's a Republican.
I was going to ask you. Is
this
Victoria
show,
Republican?
This show's very secretly been very bipartisan.
It has been.
We've been very bipartisan.
Yeah.
Everyone from that restaurant. I think Tim Allen. I think Sandler. I hope I'm not outing them. I hope they're proud of what they believe in and who they are.
I would
I don't
hope
think
so.
I'm outing anybody.
Most of them are.
Yeah, I feel bad for the people that are, like, scared to, like, be who
be
they
anything.
Are.
Be anything, yeah.
You know what it is? I think that a lot of them aren't necessarily scared. It's just they kind of believe more in this stance of, you know, it's my own belief and views, and I'll speak them when I speak them, but I'm not going to go out of my way to throw it in your face.
Bingo. And that's the way to be. You shouldn't have – if you're confident enough in what you have to believe in, you shouldn't have to throw it in anyone's face. You should not have to do that. You should be totally cool in the game about it. So I think that's – you know, I think you're onto something with that.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say is I've just dealt with great people, period. Chaz Palminteri.
Fantastic.
Yeah. God, what a great guy. You do know we have our 200th episode in 3 episodes.
Wow.
It's 197 right now.
Holy shit.
I gave Pat a list of big names I want for 200, one of them. I go, get me one of these people. And you know, by the way, I wrote a personal letter to Harvey Weinstein for 100. His office was really nice. They dealt with us like numerous times. Like, I met Harvey, as you know that story. Unfortunately, the Friedmans and I, things have kind of cooled off, but I'm still not really talking to him. We like each other's statuses and stuff.
Oh, that's
we're
cute.
At that point.
You're sniffing each other's asses.
Yeah,
right.
That's good. Right after they threw me out of Quentin Tarantino and Harvey Weinstein talking to me. Not me talking to them. Them talking to me.
No shit.
And I get tossed. You don't know this story?
What do you get tossed for?
You don't know this story?
No. No, we don't talk Hollywood memes.
So, Pascal Vicodomini. Oh, that's right. I don't really gossip Hollywood.
Oh, was it when you were upstairs at the
with
thing?
Pascal. And Pascal invited me upstairs to his private party, and there was, what's his name? The German guy that's so good that's in Tarantino's movies.
I can't think of his name.
Christoph Waltz.
Love him.
Christoph Waltz is there.
I heard he's like 5'5".
He is. He's shorter than me. Yeah. Listen. We've already talked about this. All these guys are like my height or less. I feel like a giant in L.A. It's
you
great.
Are. You are.
So we're at this party, and my dear friend, who's the head of the media in Italy, he's like the entertainment. He's the Billy Bush of Italy, okay?
Right.
Pascal Vicodomini, who I just, salt of the earth, love the guy.
I just love that last name. Makes me hungry.
He's as Italian as it gets, pal. And this is where I met Nadia, who has become my good, dear friend.
Yeah.
More Italians who I love. And let me tell you something, too. I don't fake love Italians just because I'm Italian.
No, you really love them.
These people are great.
Yeah.
Amazing human beings. Joe Mantegna, the nicest fucking cat you're ever going to meet in your life. Louis Lombardi.
Fantastic.
I really don't know any Italian scumbags in Hollywood. Honestly, I'm thinking off the top of my head, I haven't met one yet. Pacino seems like a great guy, too, by the way. De Niro, I've heard stories, but I don't know the guy, so I'm leaving it out there.
B.O.D.?
B.O.D. on De Niro. Yeah. B.O.D. So I go to this thing, and Pat says there's a YouTube clip of me telling this story already.
Thanks,
but
Pat.
Basically, long story short is I get invited to this private party. Harvey Weinstein walks up to the bar. He's drinking a club soda. I'm drinking a club soda. Quentin's there. He's in his Nikes and a tux. And Harvey's just wearing, like, he might as well have been wearing, like, a members-only jacket. I think it was a North Face or something. And he turns to me, and he goes, hey, how you doing? And I go, this is Harvey Weinstein talking to me. I hear you're kind of a prick. You scare me. And the last time I saw Harvey, he's walking with 3 girls on his arms.
Jesus.
Remember this night? We filmed, and they had the SAG Awards that
night.
And we're at the Four Seasons, and Harvey's walking in the Four Seasons. He's got 2 bitches on one arm. He's got another woman on another arm. I go, man, Harvey Weinstein. That's all you could say, Harvey Weinstein. Quentin was there that night, and he looked like he was on fun times. He had a lot of Flintstone vitamins that day.
That was just calling him.
So I'm at this party, and they're actually talking to me, and they're really nice. They asked me who I am, what I do, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it wasn't like they were like, Mr. Aaron, tell me more. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
they were being very
being
cordial
civil.
And talks, you know, folksy.
Right.
They're being folksy is one of our famous words.
They're treating you with the common respect of a human being.
And the publicist saw that they were talking to some plebeian like me, some peon.
Some troglodytes.
And they threw me out.
Oh, that's
because,
awful.
Quote, I was wearing a leather jacket.
But North Face was cool in the gang.
North Face was cool in the gang. $300 leather, not as much.
Well, then I'm fucked.
Yeah, right. No,
they
no.
threw you out.
You wouldn't have made it in. Publicist threw me out.
Did you ask Pascal?
Yes, Pascal flipped out. I really don't want to reveal too much of this business, but put it this way, I was vindicated.
Oh, good.
Very vindicated.
That's good.
So what else were we going to talk about? What else is going on?
Pat
Tobias wanted to remind me that we're getting the George Lucas Museum.
We are, yes.
Yeah, that got official.
Listen. Bro owns $700 million worth of art. A lot of it's really great. And I'm sure there's going to be some Lucas-esque shit in there as well.
It's a Star Wars museum.
No, it's not. It's his art collection. It's all kinds of things.
I read it online. It says it's supposed to be a Star Wars.
They got it wrong. It's wrong. I know the whole story behind it. He's going to put like $700 million of artwork in there.
Well,
Bro owns $1 billion worth of art.
Yeah, I got it.
Art. That's it. Like, that's $1 billion alone.
I mean, to be fair, he made a few small movies.
No. Listen, the guy, but to put it this way, you know how we say, oh, this guy's worth $1 billion, but it's probably not liquid, blah, blah, blah?
Oh, it's liquid for him, pal.
That bro's found a way to be liquid.
Yeah.
Very liquid.
Well,
so, yes, it is Star Wars stuff. There's Star Wars stuff and American Graffiti and stuff, but he's got $700 million of art that's going in this museum as well. So it's going to be not just a museum of George Lucas shit, but just art. And the Star Wars shit.
That'll
the
be good.
Graffiti.
Well, I know there's some people that are already trying to.
But people didn't know about the art thing.
Here,
that's why I bring it up.
You know, I also heard today there's people trying to sue the city and not keep them from doing it.
Well, Garcetti really wants it in L.A., and he's very upset.
No, by the way,
my favorite mayor, Eric Garcetti, who said during the rally for the Kings winning the hockey championship, quote, the mayor of L.A. says this in front of like 10,000 kids. He's drinking a beer on stage and goes, this is a big fucking deal.
Wow. You know, get him and Rob Ford.
My favorite mayor ever, Eric Garcetti, Italian.
Hey, well, here. Listen,
Italian in L.A., the greatest.
Well, that, how the fuck do they have one?
They're awesome. I love it. I love L.A. I love the Italian thing in L.A.
Wow.
I don't know where all these fuckers come from, but they're all great. Great.
Wow.
Dreesen. Sinise.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go on. These guys are awesome.
You know,
Yeah.
Yeah, I
have a theory about your awesomeness here. Mm. I think a lot of people, you know, go...
Wait, about why Italians are awesome?
Yes. Well,
okay.
Italians
in LA?
Being awesome in L.A.
What's your theory?
I think many of them really struggled really hard at first.
Absolutely.
And
none of these people were rich.
Like,
none of them.
Bingo. So then when they become successful, they just keep staying awesome.
Pacino, poor as shit.
Yeah.
Fucking Montaigne worked his ass off, did theater, which paid jack diddly.
Right.
Fucking worked and worked and worked till he was Joey Zaza.
And
remember Joey Zaza?
Is
Godfather 3. Joey Zaza gets no respect. I was watching it today. I sent you that text message. I go, no one got it either. I go, no one remembers.
There's a different person that comes.
I'm well aware. I thought about that. But I go, whoa, Joey Zaza gets no respect. You don't remember that scene from Godfather 3?
Vaguely.
I'm actually going to play it because it's that awesome. Listen, there's not a million scenes in Godfather 3 that are awesome.
Because I'm so white and German that what I hear, I get no respect. I think Dangerfield. So I'm sorry.
And I'm not going to – no, I don't want to play the scene where he dies. If you haven't seen Godfather 3 by now and I just spoiled that Montaigne dies, I'm – sorry about that.
No, you're not.
24 years later.
You shouldn't be sorry about that.
I'm always shocked by people that are like, dude, you just spoiled The Godfather for me.
You know, I spoiled Titanic for a few
Yeah, right.
Along
all right,
with
here
the
it is. Hold on.
Joey Zaza. He is, I admit, an important man. His picture is on the cover of the New York Times magazine. He gets the Esquire magazine award for the best dressed gangster. The newspapers praise him because he hires blacks into his family, which shows he has a good heart. He is famous. Who knows? Maybe one day he will make all of you popular.
It's true. I make more of a bella figura. That is my nature. But I also want to make a move into legitimate enterprise. I'd like to get a little pin from the Pope. Sure. I take the blacks and the Spanish into my family because
that's America. And you guarantee that they don't deal drugs in those neighborhoods?
I don't guarantee that. I guarantee I'll kill anybody who does. Let me talk to him.
Who can refuse Don Altabella?
Joey, are you... No! I say to all of you, I have been treated this day with no respect. I've earned you all money. I've made you rich, and I asked for little. Good. You will not give, I'll take. As for Don Corleone, well, he makes it very clear to me today that he is my enemy. You must choose between us.
How awesome is that scene?
Very.
Montaigne's pretty good.
You know, that's like True Romance was on last night. My dad's never seen it. 5 seconds after I turn it on, guess what scene comes on? The best scene in the whole movie.
In True Romance with Dennis Hopper?
Yeah.
The Dennis Hopper one?
Yeah.
Man, that scene's great with Joey Zaza. I think that may be my favorite scene in Godfather 3. Because that's when the war is on. And it's just so well written because you got Pacino saying, yeah, maybe he'll make all of us famous too. Which, of course, is like him digging into him because no Italian mobster wants to be famous. Okay, because here was Joey Zaza being this big hotshot Magoo. He was kind of being like the Gotti, if you will. He was being like the Gotti. I think that. Who do you think they based that character off of?
Doesn't take a whole lot of thought.
You think so too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, and Montaigne is just so good. He's so good. He's so subtle and just like perfect for that role. If Sofia Coppola wasn't around in that movie, it'd probably be a little better. I love Andy Garcia. Don't get me wrong. Love Andy Garcia. He's the greatest Cuban Italian I've ever seen.
Wow.
Well, listen.
Jesus.
He's what we call a Cubano. He wants to be Italiano. you're a ham and Swiss guy, Andy. You're not a...
Pickles and mustard.
Pickles,
too.
Mustard. Yeah.
Ham, Swiss, pickled, mustard.
Right.
And that
you're
rice.
You're not a mortadelle and capicola. You're not that guy. You're a gabagool.
You like chicory root in your coffee.
Yeah, right.
Not espresso.
We do different kinds of seafood, Andy. I mean, it's just... It's nice, though, that you
not
want
to say
to
I don't like ceviche.
No, we love visiting you. Come visit us, but let's call spade a spade on this one. Your name's Garcia.
I love sushi.
There's Italian Garcias. No?
Nope.
Not in any port.
The word Garcia doesn't even exist in the Italian language.
No, not at all? You've looked into that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Spanish word.
I believe it.
Spanish.
Well, see, that's why I was wondering, though, if there's they'd be Spaniards, though.
I just studied the whole history of the Mediterranean last night. And
just last night?
Wait.
Studied the whole history last night
I take
of the
that
Mediterranean.
Back. I studied the history of the Mediterranean between the years of 800 to 1800. So I did a 1,000-year span.
You did 1,000 years in one night?
I focused on Sicily, the south of Spain, the southern Italy, France, and Morocco and Algeria.
So you get home from
and
work.
And Tunisia, too.
You get home from work, have some dinner, and go, I'm going to flip open the history books.
I'm a big fan
Come
of
on.
History. No, actually, you know.
No, I believe that. The part I don't believe he's learned 1,000 years
well,
of the
yeah.
Mediterranean in
no,
one night.
No, but what I focused on are those specific areas.
You get the
areas.
General.
Well, here's what I did, is I actually focused on the empires that, because those specific areas, the south of southern Italy, Sicily, the south of Spain, parts of France, Morocco, Tunisia, those points were the points that were most conquered by many different kinds of, you know, many different kingdoms and emperors and conquerors and whatever you want to call it. So I studied, you know, the different kingdoms, the different races of people, you know, how long they were settled, what effect they had on their culture, what effect it still has on their culture. I looked into the Moors quite a bit and who really the Moors were, where they really came from, you know, and all that stuff. And I gotta tell you what, you know, the first king of Sicily was German.
Wow.
I mean, actually, the first seven kings of Sicily were German. I mean, it's really interesting.
No wonder that Mussolini and Hitler got along so well.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man.
Mikey, you're into the club scene thing, right?
Was. Oh,
yeah, right. I'm sorry. Was. When did the Metro... Anyway, listen, I got no
Never.
Problem with
it
this.
It still
I'm
sucks.
Just, yeah, no. I understand that. I understand it's not, like, the greatest stuff that goes on there. But when did the Metro start doing gay night there?
Oh,
this wasn't around when we were around, right?
I'll tell you.
I mean, I don't care. It's great. It's great. It's Pride weekend.
It.
I get it.
Because
it's
the business.
Oh, they need the business. The Metro.
Yeah, they need the business.
They're hurting.
Well,
think, huh?
Listen. When I was going. Let's see. When
well,
I,
when we were going to places
the
like
Metro,
the Metro, they were getting bigger bands.
The
and
Metro
like,
was really, really, really popular mm-hmm. in like the late '90s to the mid 2000s.
Yeah.
And then by like 2008, 2009, it started becoming.
Well, when the music business took a hit.
Well, not only that, but, you know, then they started booking more, like, DJs and stuff like that. But here's the problem. When DJs come in, they're not going to Wrigleyville to go play a show.
Well, that's
when
what
they
this
come in,
is, I guess.
They're,
but these are Chicago DJs.
They're going to Spy Bar. They're going
right.
to the Mid. I mean, there's many other places and better venues to go.
Scarlet. They had some of the highest DJs in town this weekend. $10,000 a night DJs. Oh, from New York, yeah. No. This is a true thing. I don't know if you read this. This is in Chicago Magazine. Scarlet gets some of the best DJs in the country. I mean, that's what they do. They spend a lot of money on it.
Yeah, I'm talking about more like big name DJs, Benny Benassi,
well,
Eric Pride. You know,
no,
Resden,
no, I get,
you know,
I get
Aoki.
That. Hold on, I get that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna bring up a list of Scarlet DJs because they bring in some peeps.
I'll know them if you know if they're.
Well, of course, it's a little centered more towards their
demographic. Yeah.
But, they don't get Calvin Harris. But, by the way, we don't really get Calvin Harris either.
He's been at the Mid,
but, like, literally, but the Mid's way bigger than Scarlet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Spy Bar gets a ton of big shows, but I think, I don't even know how Spy Bar's still around. That blows my mind.
Someone's dumping money in it.
I wonder what happened to the Manor property. That was actually a really, really nice place. And I remember I only went through like four or five times. At one point, I had four friends that all owned promotion companies, and they all had like alternating places. And three of them were the biggest promotion companies in Chicago at the time. So when I was going clubbing, it was like a free-for-all everywhere. I loved it.
Right. I don't do any of that.
I knew what it was like to be a celebrity. I just didn't have the Ferrari to drive home.
Well, all I know about Scarlet, I can't find a list of the DJs right now.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm like internet
music.
Retarded. No. But what I was going to say, all I know about them is during the week they have Chicago DJs. But like on the weekends they bring in New York DJs. And I know they cost a lot of money. I know the place makes money hand over fist.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, most bars do.
No, this place is pulling in filthy money.
Literally.
On a fucking Tuesday night, they're pulling in filthy money.
I'm telling you.
You know why? Because guess what?
They do.
Well, but Mikey, they make more money than, like, I guarantee you, I would bet my life on this, that they make more money than Sidetracks, which
Easily.
Has been around 20-some years, 30 years
Easily,
now,
yeah.
30 years, and it's five times the size.
But you know why? You know why they do? Because it's been around 30 years.
Okay. Minibar, they make more money than Minibar, yeah. And Minibar was supposed to be the hot thing.
No, but you guys think about it. Doesn't mean that Minibar doesn't make a lot of money, though.
Scarlet pulls in just insane amount.
The line
to get into this place kept going. Like, just kept going. I couldn't get back in.
Don't worry about that. I know the door guy.
All three of us do. Yeah, as a matter of fact, this guy didn't even
And we know the door guy so well, we spend more time outside talking to him than giving a shit about going inside.
You know what, though? To be fair, I did see a great fight. outside last time I was there.
Was there any slapping involved?
No, there was.
Oh my god! How great! Oh, by the way, Dermot Mulroney is going to star in Insidious 3 with Lin Shaye,
who was on last week.
So he's replacing Patrick Wilson.
There we go.
Man, all my friends keep ending up in like the same little
like
circle
Dermot
of
Mulroney.
Movies.
He was a good
stuff.
Dude.
I remember when Patrick Wilson, the picture of Patrick Wilson, I was my profile picture. My aunt thought Patrick Wilson and I were going out. That was the greatest compliment ever. She called up my mom. She goes, you know, Matthew's boyfriend's really cute. And I go, my mom's like, who's this, your boyfriend? And I go, man, it's Patrick Wilson. She goes, who's that? And I go, he's pretty famous, actually, a movie star. Not dating.
Yeah.
Married. With kids.
Did you ever tell Patrick Wilson about this?
No. I'm saving it for when we have him on the show sometime, because that's a story you tell in public, so you get the real reaction.
Right.
Like I played the Lee thing for the first time for you in front of you. I didn't prep Mikey what Lee's answering machine message was about, because I wanted to get Mikey's real reaction.
Yeah, I got to get
I didn't want to give Mikey any time to think about it or anything. Well, but tell your story. So there was a fight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By the way, this is the second fight I saw this week at Scarlet, because I went there earlier in the week. Because a buddy of mine and I went for sushi in the neighborhood, and we walked by, and some girl. It's the girl that punched Billy in the face.
Oh, no shit. She's back, huh?
No. I told you this story.
You wanted
to interview him about it.
I do. Yeah,
This Amazonian bitch punched Billy in the face, and then she punched some chick in the face.
Billy at the door?
Yeah, and then Robbie took her down. Billy grabbed her by her arm, and you could see the circulation being cut off in her arm. And Robbie had his foot on her fucking, like, shoulder and face. And they held her down until the cops came. And she was begging for forgiveness. Then the cops came, and she's like, okay, I'll go to the precinct with you. And she's, like, crying. And she's like, but I'm just let me go smoke a cigarette down the block for a minute. And the cop pulls a taser out of his pocket, and he goes, you're not going anywhere. Smoke a cigarette down the block before they haul you off. Yeah. So we go there Saturday, and Steve, go.
And, okay, I had about enough in there. I had no business being in there. So I'm outside having my pretend cigarette, just getting some air. And two gentlemen are having words, and no one really knows what's going on because everyone, a lot of foot traffic, this, that, the other. Well, one guy has a makeshift knife, and he's pulling it on the other guy, and the other guy's like, put down your weapon. And this exchange goes on for another 45 seconds when the weaponless guy decides to pull a sewer lid. When Billy sees that, he goes, put that fucking down or you're both going to jail. And that's when shit's real.
How amazing is it that a guy had a knife? And another guy goes, well, I got a fucking sewer lid.
Yes. Yes. I will see your knife and raise you a sewer lid.
And how much PCP was bro on that he was holding up a sewer lid?
Enough. And Billy did work.
Well, I want to thank, once again, I want to thank Dog Dwayne Chapman for coming on. Beth Chapman, who was not on, but I want to thank her anyways just for putting up with that menace, Dog Chapman.
What a menace that he is.
60 seconds.
I want to thank all Dog's fans for tuning in. I want to thank all our fans for tuning in. And I hope there's crossover in the future. I hope you keep tuning in. I don't know who we have on next week yet, but we are inching closer to 200. And I can promise you it's only going to get bigger and better. Next week we'll talk about Nick Searcy and Matt Hardy's wrestling match. We're going to have Nick Searcy and Matt Hardy on at some point, I'm pretty sure. We're working on it. It's just we've been busy, and then our schedules haven't meshed up yet. Anything else? Dog and Beth on the hunt Saturdays, 9/8 Central CMT.
Yeah.
Steve, anything else?
Take care of everyone.
Mikey, anything else?
Nothing
all
at
right.
all.
All right, very good. I wish you all a happy Pride Parade this weekend. A happy
God
Pride
bless.
Here in Chicago.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. We're going to be doing B-roll. We'll see you down there.
All right.
10 seconds. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.